Good morning. Today, I would like to share some thoughts about hope and Habakkuk. Verses about hope and Habakkuk seem to keep popping up, and I thought maybe I should pay attention to this. But before I go any further, I would just like to say that some of my ideas come from the Bible Project. You may remember that I shared a short video from the Bible Project the last time I spoke. And I admit I really enjoy the materials. But today I'd like to start with Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation talks about radiating hope. I like that, the idea that we as followers of Jesus radiate hope. We use the word hope a lot, at least I do. I do it all the time. I hope you're okay. I hope you're keeping well. I hope to see you soon. We hope the coronavirus epidemic will soon pass. We hope to get back to normal. I wonder what new things you've tried out during lockdown. One of the things that I've turned my hand to is baking, which is something that I haven't done in years. Now, to all you good bakers out there, that might seem quite simple. But as I got the bakery book out and gathered all my ingredients, I must admit it was with a bit of trepidation. I hoped that it would be a success and that I wouldn't waste some good ingredients. Some of the results, like my scones, were not great and didn't work out as I had hoped. And that was a disappointment. But the Madeira cake, well, now that was quite successful. At least Tom thought it was. So expectations were met. It turned out as we'd hope, and we were happy. In small and big happenings in life, we want things to work out in a particular way. And we usually want good things for ourselves and for other people. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But as we know, these can be uncertain hopes. Circumstances don't always work out the way we want, and people can let us down, so we're disappointed. Sometimes hope can be more like wishful thinking. Yet hope is necessary, isn't it? It's hope that motivates us. It's what keeps us going, particularly through the challenges that life throws at us. So what does the Bible say about hope? In the Hebrew scriptures, there are two main words and variations of these words that are translated hope. But they're actually also the ordinary word for wait. One is yakal, and that means to wait patiently. So like Noah in Genesis 8 waited in the ark for the floodwaters to recede. The other is kavah, which literally means it's actually a rope or a cord, but especially when that rope or cord is pulled tight so that there's tension on it. And so it's a bit like pulling a string or a cord to the point that it breaks and the tension is released. Used figuratively, it means a sense of anticipation, to wait confidently. In Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about the Lord planting a vineyard and waiting for or confidently anticipating the grapes. So it's like, imagine waiting on something with anticipation and excitement and the relief when it comes, when it happens. So hope is about waiting with anticipation and confident expectation. But waiting for what, or maybe we should say who? Time and again in the Old Testament, in the Psalms and the Prophets, it's about waiting on God. One example, in Psalm 39, David is contemplating the shortness of life, the uncertainties of life, the consequences of sin. And in all of that, in the midst of it, he says, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." So in the midst of all these uncertainties, David's hope was in the Lord. And I want to just give one more example because it's a verse that we all love. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And in this, we can see that the word kavah is sometimes translated as wait and sometimes as hope. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's the New King James Version. In the NIV, the beginning bit is translated, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." So biblical hope is not about hoping the circumstances will change, but rather it's about waiting on God with anticipation and confidence that he will deliver and rescue and fulfill his purposes. So I said I wanted to talk about Habakkuk. So let's now turn to the prophet Habakkuk. He's an interesting prophet. Well, the prophets are all interesting, but you know what I mean. Habakkuk probably lived just before the fall of Jerusalem, which makes him a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. And that was probably around 600 BC. The fall of Jerusalem was a wee bit after that. Habakkuk's writings are about his struggles to reconcile the evil in the world with a good God. How can God be good when evil abounds? And it's a question we ask today, isn't it? Habakkuk's writings trace his journey from complaining to God to having a peaceful trust. So at the beginning of his book, Habakkuk starts by complaining to God. Your law is neglected. There are all sorts of violence in the land. There's injustice. The leaders are corrupt. And you, God, are doing nothing about it. And God replies to him, "Oh, Habakkuk, I'm about to do something, but I don't think you're going to like it. I'm going to use the Babylonians, that nation from the north, to bring judgment." So what does Habakkuk do? He complains again. You're kidding, God. You've got to be joking. That law are even worse. They're abominable. They treat people like animals. They're evil. How can you use them? God replies to Habakkuk again. I'll tell you what will happen, and I want you to write it down. And you know what? This vision that you write down, the righteous ones in the land will live by faith when they hope in that vision. So what is this vision that God gives to Habakkuk? In time, God will bring Babylon down. He may use them, but he doesn't approve of their evil ways. And that applies not only to Babylon, but to every nation and empire that rises up like Babylon. Powers marked by unjust economics, exploitation, slavery, irresponsible greedy leaders, idolatry of all kinds. But God promises that one day, in the midst of all of this, one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Empires and governments are temporary. Only God's kingdom is eternal. And that vision of God's glory being revealed all over the earth still gives us hope today. The next section of the book is Habakkuk's prayer of response to this vision. Firstly, there is his cry, which we still pray. God, do it now. Do your great work of judgment and deliverance. You've done it before. Do it again. Be merciful, O God. Then he goes on to present an amazing, powerful, terrifying picture of God, reminiscent of the Exodus, when God rescued his people and delivered them from slavery. This picture is about God, sovereign over all the earth and all its forces. And in the middle of this vision, he reveals the purpose of it all. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. This verse is looking forward to Messiah, the Christ, to God's anointed King who would bring salvation to his people. At the end of this revelation, Habakkuk is overwhelmed, but he stills himself to wait for whatever will come in terms of trouble and difficulty, and for God's ultimate judgment on evil. And he finishes with this amazing declaration of faith, trust and hope in God. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Habakkuk's hope was in the salvation that God would bring, the promises of future deliverance and God's justice being done. Times were unbelievably challenging for Habakkuk and all those who remained faithful to God in those days. But Habakkuk, in the end, chose hope. Habakkuk's message recognises how dark and chaotic the world is, and he offers us hope that God will deal with evil. Okay, in the short time remaining, I'd like to fast forward into the New Testament. The New Testament's written in Greek, and the Greek word for hope is elpis, and it's used throughout the New Testament when it's talking about hope. It is similar in meaning to kava and yakal, which is to wait with anticipation, with expectation and confidence. Hope is not vague, wishful thinking, but confident expectation, because it's not in the circumstances, but in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have the fulfillment of what the prophets had been waiting for, all they hoped for. He is the promised Messiah that Habakkuk refers to, the anointed one sent for the salvation of his people. His death on the cross and resurrection defeated Satan and set us free from sin and death. We still look forward to the day when Jesus will return and bring about the downfall of ungodly world systems and totally destroy the evil works of Satan, just as God promised Habakkuk. And the promise of deliverance is for the whole of creation. There will be a new heavens and a new earth in which God's glory will cover the earth, the knowledge of God will cover the earth, as promised to Habakkuk. There are passages in both the Old and New Testaments that refer to the new creation, but I want to read just one, and that's from Romans chapter 8. The future glory. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward for the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. we have that certainty that we belong to God. His presence and strength is with us now, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the hope of Jesus coming, and we have the hope of a glorious future in the new creation. So, in the meantime, what do we do? Do we just sit back and wait for Jesus to come and take us out of this chaotic world and bring about his new creation? Well, you know the answer to that, of course not. In the present, our hope is in Jesus, who is with us and gives us his peace and joy when we trust in him. We can be like Habakkuk when he chose to trust God and rejoice in the Lord and was joyful in God, his Saviour. As Alan, Trevor and Stephen have said in recent weeks, we look forward to Jesus coming. But while waiting, we got on with doing what he has commanded us to do. We can worship him, even in the difficult times. We can pray a lot. We can oppose evil and injustice. We can help and serve each other. And we can share the good news about Jesus and the hope we have in him. And I'm sure you can think of lots of other things that we can do to live for Jesus in the here and now while we hope for his coming. I'd also just like to add that we continue to pray and hope for revival, when God's glory and power will be seen in our churches, communities and nations in extraordinary ways. I'd just like to say that if you don't know Jesus and what it's like to have the hope that comes from the God of hope, and you want to know more, there is an email on a slide coming up at the end of the service. Please get in touch. So to end where I started, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless.